We want to finish up some thoughts that we had a few weeks ago. It's been a while since we talked about some practical ways of reaching the lost, also edifying one another, building up each other. And so we want to finish some of those thoughts. I don't know if y'all still have the copies from previous. I have a few up here. We'll go through some of these. Before that, next week, we will have Brother Shirtle will show us a slideshow of the last leaders. And so next Sunday evening. Yes. Yeah. And so he's going to do that for us next Sunday evening. And also, and we're looking forward to that. And so also we're going to have a young man by the name of Tobias Hatcher. We're going to have him come, and he's going to be preaching for us next Sunday. He's a Memphis School of Preaching graduate, and we're going to talk with him a little bit. Maybe he might be working with us, but just want to kind of throw that out there so y'all would know. Next week, he'll be preaching on next Sunday morning. Matthew 10:16. We looked at these on last week, had a good dialogue. So I want to refresh our memory just a little bit on some of the things that we discussed concerning reaching those who are outside of Christ, those who are far from the kingdom, those who are not far from the kingdom. And we considered the word send in verse number 16. He says, behold, I send. The Greek word is apostello, which literally means to send to a place, an appointed place. Good to see you, brother. And he sends them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And so we talked about that, and I remember us talking about how we ought to be a confident people as we go out, as we go out. Before we get started, just so I don't put y'all to sleep too fast, what does it mean to be confident? Say again. All right. Sure of what you're doing. All right. Anyone else? All right. Know you are capable of. Okay. Anyone else? Expecting to succeed. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Showing strength. Showing strength. All right. Good. Good. All right. So when we think about being confident, if you know your task, if you know your material, if you know your craft, if you know what you're talking about, then you can be confident in that information. And so there are different ways that we can be confident. I want us to consider some things, I think, by way of review, because we talked about this already. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. We can be confident because we know who has all authority, okay? And so the authority is in Christ Jesus. It's in the Word of God. And so Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so he tells his disciples to go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all right? And so we can be confident in the one in whom has all of the authority, meaning that we listen to him, but not just us, friends. As we discussed this morning in John 17, 2, Jesus has authority over all flesh. Everybody has to listen to Jesus, every single person. And so it doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what their ancestry was or is. Everybody listens to Jesus. Unlike the patriarchal system and the Mosaic system, when the Gentiles were not responsible to listen to Moses, but they were still responsible for listening to God. And so it's very interesting that you had two different time periods or dispensations going at the same time, where one group did not have to listen to Moses, but the other group did. We don't have that today. And I'm not going to call it confusion, because God is not the author of confusion. However, we know that the Jews had to listen to God through Moses, and the Gentiles had to listen to God, but it wasn't through Moses, unless they wanted to submit to that. Here's my point. Today, I don't care who you talk to. Everybody has to listen to Jesus. Everybody. Okay? Everybody. So that makes our responsibility and job, if I can say it that way, easier. We don't have to be dissecting and trying to parse things. And so Jesus has all authority, all authority. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 to 37. Matthew 9, 36, 37. Chad, if you don't mind, read that. Matter of fact, you got your son next to him. Let him read. Matthew chapter 9, 36 and 37. There's a point I want us to make here. What does the Bible say? All right, good. Now, a few things I want us to consider. We already know who has authority. We know that everybody has to listen to Jesus Christ. But brethren, I know we see this. Even the world is seeing it now. People have no direction. None. They don't know where they're going. Sister Evelyn brought out an excellent point in the Feed and Seed on last Monday. People have problems, but they don't know how to identify the problem. Well, if you don't know how to identify the problem, how do you know how to fix it? We, as Christians, should know how to identify the problem. Why? We can go to the Word of God. That's the source right there. And when sin is the problem, we can go to the Word of God, and the Word of God will demonstrate to us what it is and what we need to do to fix it. Well, here we come, because we've been reading the Word of God, exposed to the Word of God, studying the Word of God, like John was told to eat the book. We've been spending time with the Word of God. So now when we're talking to people, we ought to be able to identify problems that they have in their lives and be able to direct them to some type of healing, some type of answer, some type of correction, if you will. All right. Any comments on that? Any comments? Yes.
His word is the inspiration and correction for us to, persuading.
Yes.
We get persuaded, and it comes in us, and then we have to persuade out what we persuade.
Great point.
To other people.
Great point. In essence, Brother Eric was saying that we've been persuaded by the Word of God. We go out and we persuade others with the Word of God. Now, remember, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. Think about that. Sheep without shepherds. What does that look like? Sheep without shepherds. Lost. Anyone else? Say again. Wandering around in every direction, sir. Look like a country. Let's get back to the Bible, but you're right. That's right. They're in danger. Now, let's put all those together. A country without direction, without guidance, people without direction, wandering everywhere, danger. Hold on. The Word of God is actually designed to get us and keep us out of danger. Sheep without a shepherd. Yes.
You asked earlier about the definition for confident. The Bible's definition of confident in the New Testament has to do with being persuaded or even being persuasive. So it goes back to what Eric had just said about we've been persuaded and now we're put in a position to where we can persuade others. Well, there are some people who are more persuasive than others because they have been converted. I mean, they have been convicted more than others, if I can say it that way.
Good. That's real good. Good. Yes.
This morning after my sermon at Sterling City, closing prayer, you guys know me. The guy that led the prayer said, please restore our confidence and thank me and the song leader in prayer to God. I thought that was interesting. Please restore our confidence. You can ask that question. I suppose we presented a confident message is what I want to believe.
the word of God that persuades, that's preached, that's lived, is going to persuade those who are, watch this point, who are honest and noble. Let's not get discouraged. Let's not get distracted. Let's not become despondent because people are not running to the gospel. The ones that are honest, the ones that are noble, the ones that want to be persuaded by the gospel, they will be persuaded. And I find it very interesting, and I always keep this in my back of my mind, especially as a soul seeker. Few be there that find it. And so if someone is seeking, guess what? We'll find them. Because God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So here's the thing. When the opportunity presents itself, will I capitalize on it? I find someone without direction. I find it just like having a country without a leader, in danger. Man, there's nothing like talking to someone outside of Christ, and you know they're going in the wrong direction, and you say to them, do you think there's a better way to do that? And that's all you really have to say. Do you think it's a better way to do that?
Scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, why did they have a problem with Jesus?
He's eating with sinners.
He's spending time with sinners. Those who are not following Christ. Those who don't see things like Christ. And so they're deriding him, coming down upon him. So, and these were his own people, Pharisees, religious leaders. And so that ought to tell us something as it relates to the Lord, and also, what did Jesus do with the sinners according to the text? This man what?
Received
sinners. What should we do though? I don't know, but he doesn't dress like us. He doesn't have the same mannerisms. He doesn't think like us. But hold on. But he's a sinner. He's outside of Christ. He needs someone to approach him concerning the gospel. And so when we think about this, there are points of camaraderie that we need to be considering. Keep it in mind. Chad, you ever hear that?
There's a difference that you can see here in pride and in confidence. A lot of times people see confidence as haughtiness or pride. The Pharisees and scribes had pride.
Yes.
Jesus had confidence.
Yes.
One of them's right and the other one's wrong.
Okay. Brother Brian capitalized on a little point that was made. You see, there's a difference between pride and what?
Arrogance.
Slight difference between the two. Look it up. You do your own study on that. You'll be amazed at what you'll find. There's God wants us to be confident. Don't let people say, you know, you're just being arrogant. Well, if you are being arrogant, we need to change that based upon the definition. But if you're confident in what is right, then you need to be confident. That's the only way you're going to live this life right. And so we live in a time today where when people are confident, especially in the right thing, they're made to feel wrong, and guess what they do? They got hurt. They go the other way. We seem like we have more people confident in the wrong than the right. We don't want to be confident in sin. That's pride. That's arrogance. All right? Look at Luke 7, 36. Sir. I did?
I'm playing in my pocket. My bad. Sorry, brother. All right, Luke 7, 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. He went to the Pharisee's house, sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, or the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. Notice, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. She is a sinner. Well, who did he come to seek and save? Sinners, the lost. Well, let me ask this question. What does it mean to be lost? That's an easy question. Come on now. What does it mean to be lost? All right, I heard confused, separated from God.
Just not knowing your way.
Not knowing your way? Okay. Not knowing the word of God. That definitely leads to being lost. What else? What does it mean to be lost?
When something is lost, it's not in its right place.
Not in its right place.
It's supposed to be God. So we're supposed to be God. We're not in our right place.
Okay. So we got this woman. She's a sinner. That means that she's outside of the will of God. She's lost. And notice their attitude toward him about her. What's wrong with that? Their attitude about him concerning her. What's wrong with that?
They're saying they're not sinners.
Yeah. And they're upset because he's allowing her to do it and she's crying. And
they don't see themselves as sinners.
Okay. Okay. Now, what was Jesus' response? What's his response? He turns to who? Simon? I got something to say to you, right? In other words, what was he saying to her, to Simon, I'm sorry. Especially drop down to verse number 44. He said, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her what? And wipe them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman, he could notice the compare and contrast. Compare and contrast. Is it possible that when we're seeking and saving the lost, that we might not be as focused on them as we need to be? And so these are great, great examples for us, great lessons for us. Even the best of us need to always be checking ourselves to make sure that we are as laser focused as possible. Yes, sir, Eric.
Well, she gave herself all to him, and that's what he was trying to tell him to do.
That's a great point.
In the way that she, you know, not that she cried for him or anything, but she gave her tears up to him.
Good. Anyone else? Yes.
I think one difference too between arrogance and confidence is confidence has room to care about the other person. Arrogance doesn't have room to care about the other person. And so when we see Jesus speaking with confidence,
that's good.
Because he cares about that's the good. Listener. When you see someone speaking with arrogance, there's no teaching. There's no complaining because they don't care about the listener. Like
in this example, he says, Simon, I have something to say to you, and he teaches him with confidence and patience. And then, like in Luke 15, he spoke this parable to them who said that he complained. He said, you know, he told them about the sheep, the 99, and the one, and he took the time to teach them. So it's, I think that's one of the differences, too, is that teaching shows that you actually care about them and not just trying to do it over them.
Thank you. Thank you for teaching me something. Thank you. Great point. Yes.
I really appreciate what Anna just said. I tend to hear people when they are arrogant, they want you to obey them. They are the ones that are right. You are the ones that are wrong. But a person who is confident wants you to obey God.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with them.
That's right.
It has everything to do with the word of God. And therefore, that's what they're attempting to teach you, is to listen to God, not to listen to them.
That's right. Look at Acts 20. Let's prove this point that they just made. Acts 20, verse 30. Acts 20, verse 30. Let's prove this point. It's good to have good things to say, things that sound wise, but really true wisdom from above, you ought to be able to have a Bible verse to support it, correct? In Acts 20 and verse number 30, the Bible here communicates, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. Why? To draw disciples after themselves. Usually when people don't have a Bible verse or a Bible principle, but the concept sounds biblical, they want you to come back to them. No, the true Christian, child of God, the one that's seeking and saving the lost, is always pointing people to the cross. Always, old preachers used to say, hide behind the cross. And that's not just for preachers, brethren, that's for all of us. We should be hiding behind the cross. And so when we're given advice, we ought to make sure that it is biblically based, spiritually sound. Why? Because it's about being confident. And I love this. Confidence has room to care. Arrogance doesn't. Man, that's a bulletin article. I'm going to write about that one. Because it's true. You can tell when you care. Chad.
It aligns with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where you have some people trying to build up their own arrogance by saying, I was baptized by Apollos. And Paul said, man, I wish you wouldn't say anything. Who cares who baptized you? Jesus saved you.
That's right.
Not Paul, not Apollos, not Cephas.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through verse number 13, for those who are taking notes. Great point. Great point. All right, last point I want us to think about, and we haven't covered this. We covered those last two points, I know for sure, but I wanted to recap that. Incentives to consider Christ, points of caring. Okay, how do people know that we really care about them? I'm talking about those outside of Christ. Now, talking about us, as a matter of fact, Jesus would say that the world will know that you are my disciples by what? The love you have one for another. Okay, so that's obvious. I'm talking about, how do people know that we really care about them? Yes. Going out of your way to do something that solely benefits them. Like moving someone into their apartment. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Jesus did it by focusing on their physical needs first. Did you have your? Yes. By listening. By listening. I need you to elaborate on that, because sometimes our definition of listening is different than what listening really is. What do you mean by that?
Well, if I have a student that I truly care about more than just my teaching math, for example, they'll come share something with me, And if I'm not truly there straight head on, I'm not paying attention to everything else that's happening around them. I truly care what they're saying to me and then respond to that. So it's not just hearing.
That's right.
It's responding, and to me, that's how they know that you care.
When I'm listening to someone, brethren, I'm always filtering what they say. If I'm really paying attention, sometimes, like the rest of us, sometimes we know what people are saying before they actually finish saying it. Y'all know we do that. We're good at it. As a matter of fact, I was telling Evelyn the other day, we was walking on ASU, and guy at the gym was talking, saying some things, and really about a third of way in there, I'm like, man, this guy's all messed up. I said, Mike, shut up. I did. I had to say, Mike, shut up. And once he finished talking, he was right on point. He just had to get there. Sometimes we speak too what? Too fast. Yes, sir.
Well, Jerry is exactly right. Every one of us are seeking to understand.
Yes.
So a very important trick to good relationships is Christianity. Make sure you haven't said anything until you understand what you said first.
That's right.
And if you're not sure, if you really want to show how you care, continue listening by asking questions.
What I hear you say.
Is this what you're saying? Right. And I guarantee you, it's hook, line, and sinker right there, buddy. Now, you can build on that.
That's right.
But we are so busy. We throw people to the curb because of our own self-interest.
Let me say this based upon what Brian said. Remember in John chapter 8, Jesus just made the religious leaders totally upset. Before Abraham was, ego a me. They was ready to do what? Stone him. He's running out of there, and he stops to talk to a what man? John 9. Anybody? A blind man. Hold on, Jesus, you're on the run. And you're going to sit there and stop and talk to a blind man? Yeah. Here's the point. Sometimes we're so on the run. We're trying to get stuff done. We're working. We're doing this. But you got to slow down and talk to people. And really, the ones that were blind was the ones that could see. And sometimes we're so on the go that we can't even see the prospect right in front of us. I used to get in trouble when I was a mechanic full-time at Gunacre, looking for that next job. Why? Because, man, there was more money on that job. Sit there and wouldn't work on this car right. And then that car come back, and then they take me off the job. Why? Because you didn't work on that one. Mike, focus on this one first. Focus on what you got in front of you. Right? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
It's amazing to them that there's actually those things that are in the Bible.
That's right.
Me too, I have it every time. When I read a book all the time, same thing. I read that one book and I find something else the next time.
That's right. Anyone else? Yes.
Some of us have to be slow to hear first and then, you know.
All of us.
And I have to
slow to speak
because I got to hear and get a description who that voice is, first of all, and then let them talk, and then I'll tell them what I have to say.
Good.
It's about to listen to them, even though they think I can't see, but I have to see with my ears. And I'll tell them that, because I can hold a conversation just as good with anybody as anybody else.
That's good.
I'll try to hold the best one I can now, too.
That's right. Good. John 2, remember, Jesus was invited to a wedding feast, right? A wedding. And I'm not focusing on turning water to wine. I could care less about that right now. What we're focusing in on is he was invited. He was invited. Guess what he did? He went. One of the best things that we can do, watch this, is when sinners invite us to a place where we can actually go. Okay? Hey, my son, my daughter, they're having a little birthday party. Really, you don't want to go. Okay? You're 50 years old. Everybody there like 3 years old. Okay. But why are you going? Why are you going? Because you were invited. You were invited. And the next thing you know, you're there and you're having a conversation. And really, and when or during the time that you're there, they're telling you, hey, thank you for coming. Thank you for caring enough to come. This is where I want to, can you pass out some of these, Mark, Scott, Mitchell? Just pass out some of these. There's a reason why I'm here. I got some more for you. Yeah, grass grab some. Just, we can pass them all out. I don't care. Yeah. Now, the reason why I want these passed out is because some of them, they're cards from Brother Whitaker. Really, his daughter Hannah makes these cards. And when I went to Southwest, I learned some things from Brother Whitaker that I thought was really good, truth be told. But as Christians, I believe we ought to send even those who are not members of the Lord's church some of these cards and let them know that, hey, I'm thinking about you. Now, of course, you can send someone a text, an email, but it just seems like the old-fashioned way of being personal, actually putting your hands on people, actually putting something on paper and writing it. They know that, okay, I'm not saying that a text or an email is not encouraging. I mean, we know they are. But when you take that time out, like there's some sending prayers your way that I saw that was good. Missing you. Now, of course, we can send these to each other. Demonstrating that we care about those who are outside of Christ, those who are our brethren that need a special word of encouragement. With deepest sympathy, loss of a loved one, God be with us as you get well. I mean, these are things that we can be sending, but it requires a little time. And so here's the question. When we're thinking about sending compassion cards, are there people on your job that you believe could benefit from these? When they're talking to you about their problems, I don't care what type of problem it is. It doesn't even really matter. Hey, what's your address? What you need my address for? I'm not going to lie to you. I've been thinking about you. And I'm going to send you a card. And just be straight up with them. Or maybe that's just my personality. Send them a card. Anyone want to make a comment? Chat?
I just, my brain works weird sometimes.
Good.
The average speed that you type is 40 words a minute, average across America. 13 words a minute when you handwrite it. So a handwritten card means that you put some effort into this person.
That's beautiful.
Compared to, in texting is 38 words a minute. Average.
That's beautiful.
More intimate than the text.
That's beautiful. Boy, I love you, man.
Weird,
I know, but you got a good weirdness about you. You've always, hey, I call him straight up Shirtle. I tell you straight up. I love that man. Who else has something they want to add to that? Anyone else?
Who is Hannah?
Oh, no, not right now. Anyone else? Not trying to be ugly, but anyone else? What can we do? How can we talk to people about these things?
You know, Mike, we could be consistent with people in our morality, too, because the day that you compromise on something, that you have stood up for in front of them is the day that you lose their respect. But if you stay consistent with it, they eventually know that you are serious about this. You really mean this. This is something that's important to you. And they appreciate that even more so. And then they begin to come to you for things, come to you for prayer requests, come to you for issues in their own life, come to you about things that are going on because they realize you're consistent. You're not going to give in to temptation as often as they do. So therefore, they find a sense of confidence coming.
That's good. That's good. Good. Anyone else?
Someone asked me yesterday, says, why do you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Now, what would be inappropriate? I'd like to hear from others. What might be an appropriate response to that?
We're told to do it. We're commanded.
All right. She says we're commanded.
We're not necessarily commanded. We're commanded on the first day of the week, but we're to come together every time we're drunk.
Okay.
Unless you're sick or lame.
Okay. Anyone else? Say it again, Brother Hedick. Oh, you couldn't hear. Hold on. You couldn't hear her? Oh, she said because it's commanded and we need to come together.
I'll respond, can you think of a better place to be?
No. That's definitely a better one. But, I mean, it's true, the other one. Yeah.
Anyone else?
Love for God and a desire to please Him.
Love for God and a desire to please Him. Sister Shirtle.
We've always told people that God comes first.
Yep.
And we've had to stress this with our kids, and while we miss certain sporting events, or because they'd rather
play
baseball or something like that,
man.
Who
wants
first?
That's right.
So that's why we're here.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Anyone else? Yes.
I think it's also like love first for the people, too, because of where you're supposed to go. We're supposed to learn from each other. We're supposed to grow together. We're supposed to fellowship together. And those kind of connections are not connections we get out in the world necessarily. And so we come here to fortify ourselves.
Good. Eric.
We are the body of Christ, so we gather together in that kind of way, functioning in different ways, but, you know, spreading the gospel and persuading those to come into the church. I never knew these things, but now I know these things. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm pretty mindful, more not wanting to be anywhere else but here, because it's no better place, just like what Roy said.
Amen.
Doing Bible study with you, preacher, and Royce, it's really made me change to be more busy with God more than anything else that I can.
Good.
I can't see. But I can see. I see spiritually. So that was the spiritual of me being used has even got me occupied also.
Good. Mary?
It'd be like, you know, we're all the vines. Or all the ligaments. It's like if his foot, if he's not coming, where's foot? We got a foot gone.
That's right. That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? That's good. What he tells us to make sure we don't do.
Good. Real good. Yes, and then yes. Maya, and then Brian.
I was just going to say, I think now more than ever, people can understand, whether you're in the church or not, that the world can be a very draining and negative place. And the opportunity that's set aside for you to come together with people who will pour encouragement and positivity into you and also bring glorification to God, why would you not want to take the opportunity to capitalize on that?
Good. Hey, Brian?
I think to Brother Hedick's question is, I think a lot of reason why people don't go to church is because it's only an emotional experience. It's not an edifying experience. And they can replace that emotional experience with something different in the world of lust and wickedness. When you have a place like Ninth and Main where you are truly edified, it's not just emotional. The emotion comes after you've been edified. And that is a true feeling.
Yes.
You want to come back because you're being fed.
That's
if
right.
You get hungry, where are you going to go?
That's right.
I want to be back. I want to come back. But I can understand why some people have fizzled out. They don't go back on Sunday nights. They don't go back on Wednesday. They're not getting anything. They're getting emotionalism. Well, I can go down to the arcade or go to them with whatever they do. You know,
good.
But you know, you got it. I was on meal four. I couldn't stand anymore. You know, I just was ready to... Don't you know what meat is? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And you got to add that meat like Brian's saying.
That's it.
By the way, my initial response was, I want to spend
Well, I think all of the answers that you received will help you even with that. Because what other place would you want to be at the time appointed? You know, and really, are we commanded to come on the first day of the week? Yes. Did we fulfill our duty to God this morning? We did. Why are we here tonight? Why do we come on Wednesday? We love God. We love his people. Yes.
It's not a conflict, Mary. That's very true. Back to Mary's original comment, commanded in 1 Timothy 5, I mean, not 1 Timothy 5, Hebrews
10.
13, I believe. Verse 17 says, to obey them that have rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. It's talking about the elders, as they that must give an account. The elders here in this congregation have set aside Sunday evening as another time for Bible study, and with the expectation that the congregation goes along with Wednesday as well. Right here we have a direct quote from the writer of Hebrew, inspired writer, that we're to listen to that. It's not in a conflict with the Word of God by any means. And so there's a duty aspect to that as well.
That's right.
It's not just Bible study. This is a time where the elders have set aside for the congregation to gather in excess to God's commandment.
Excellent point. And we've talked about that word obey here. We've been pounding that word, Greek word pytho, and the idea there is to be persuaded. And so the elders or the brethren, because every congregation don't have elders. And so, but this one is fortunate enough to have elders. And so that's why the members ought to be able to look at the elders and say, well, if they're there, I need to be there. Why? Because they're there. This is where we have decided to come at this particular time. And so what if the elders are saying, y'all be there, but we're going to be out on the fishing hole. We're going to be fishing. After a while, you can be like, well, we're showing up, but the elders are not here. The leaders are not here. And so it's not only listening, but it's considering their lifestyle and following their lifestyle. All right. Great point. Great point. Anyone else? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we want to stay close to each other because we want to stay physically close to each other so that we can be spiritually and emotionally close to each other.
Yes. Good. Good. Anyone else? Great question, Brother Larry. That's spurring a good conversation. Let's make one more point. Remember we was making the point with John 9, 1 through 12. Look at Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. And I want y'all to consider the cards. Consider writing. And Brother Chad, I appreciate that point, especially about the time that it takes to write someone something encouraging is more intimate than sending a text or an email. And that's a great point there. And I believe we need to consider that. And, you know, we think of things that were done in the old days, the antiquated is outdated, but did it work? There are some things, because of the progression, they are good, and we can use those things, and we should. But there are some things that just don't grow old. Like putting your hand on your brother and saying, hang in there. That never grows old. Grabbing someone's hand and actually saying, let's pray, that doesn't grow old. Letting people know that, hey, I'm here for you, call me anytime. And then when they call you, actually be there. That never grows old. And so there's something about old paths that we need to keep in mind. And so just because something new comes up, let's not be quick to run to it, lest we divorce ourselves from something old that we need to stay with. So in Mark chapter 10, Evelyn, did you say something?
I said, or think it's
better. Or think it's better.
That's
true.
Well, and two, how you would feel when Sarah Scott passed away, and very dear to Bobby and I just shared something with
an advisor at Howard College one night, and 2 days later, she had a card on my desk because I went there. Nothing, and she just, it was a very simple card, but she took the time extra, on top of listening to me, then just took that extra step.
Yes.
I knew how that made me feel. I still have that card.
That's right.
And so I want to not repay, but I want to pay it forward.
That's right.
To others.
That's right.
I know how important that was to me.
Anyone else? That's a great point. Anyone else? Look at Mark 10. Now think about it. Now, Eric, try not to say nothing, okay? All right? Try not to say nothing, Eric. All right? Mark 10, 46 to 52. I'm going to read this. Now, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, that's why I say don't say anything, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, now notice what he began to do. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Brethren, again, going back to the point of John 8. Jesus on the run. He stops and helps a blind man in John. Now, here's a different blind man right here. He stood still. He's hearing this. What catches Jesus' attention? The same thing that catches God's attention today, faith. The same thing. And brethren, if we're not careful, people could have genuine faith to want to come to the Lord, but because we're too busy and not paying attention, we'll walk right by him. And so notice what he says. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garments, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along on the road. So Jesus went about doing good. This was a good thing. This man is healed because of his faith. Well, how can people be healed from their sin today when we stop, take time to open the Bible with them? Open the Bible with them. Allow the Word of God to produce faith within them, thus persuading them to do God's will. And the next thing you know, they're being baptized and they're living for the Lord. In that order. So it takes time to do that. It takes time. That's right. Speak up so everybody can hear you.
I think of the woman who had the bleeding problem for 12 years. I mean, I can't imagine that as a woman. But she knew she could just touch him, his clothes, anything. And that was her faith. And he healed.
Excellent point. Mark 5, 29 and following. Excellent point. So what did we grab today? What did we observe today? What we learned today, if anything? Anybody? Compassion. Anyone else?
Confidence.
Confidence. Take the time.
Take the name of Jesus with
you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Say again. Listening. Anyone else? Slow down. We live in a fast-paced world. So we have to equip ourselves. We have to take time. We have to be confident in knowing that we're serving our Lord. We can be confident in his word. The last thing we want is to know what God's word says and then lack the confidence to communicate that. And that happens. Happens to the best of us. Happens is, for some reason, either we are afraid that we'll run someone off. Now, ask yourself this question. How do you run someone off if they're not there? You can't. But we need to use wisdom. Proverbs 11, verse 30. All right? He that winneth souls is wise. Any final thoughts? Y'all? No, go ahead.
We have to remember that our job is to plant and water. The increase belongs to the Lord anyways. And if we can just get in our head that our job is to just to plant and the watering, I think that we can do it more often and we can save the increase for the person to whom that job belongs to, which is the Lord.
Those cards that y'all have, I'm going to put them out on the table. I wanted to make sure that we finish this lesson before we put them out. And you can use them how you see fit. And hopefully we'll continue to have them out there. They're great cards. Hannah is Robert's daughter, very lovely young lady. And I had an opportunity to talk to her at Southwest. Anyway, this is her little business. This is not her dad's, but their whole family is involved in evangelism. And so that's just, that's a little bit about her. You would love her. You would love to talk with her. But we're going to put those out on the tables with the envelopes. Send them to one another. Again, we're going to just kind of keep them coming. And the reason why is because you can never go wrong with the personal touch of edification, evangelism. You can never go wrong with that personal touch. All right? No, yes.
Some people, some people are more introvert, so and quiet. You know, like Eric can be very quiet sometimes. And if you gather up those DVDs out there and you pass those out at Walmart, man, it's unreal. But the worst thing you can do is tell you no. Mm-hmm. Or throw them in the trash in your face, but they're not going to kill you. But, you know, a lot of people come home and watch them.
It's good. And the beauty of evangelism, when Jesus told his disciples, as you go. I was talking to a good brother just the other day, and we were talking about different methods of evangelism. And that's what they are, friends, different methods. Whatever fits you, use it. Use it. Just make sure that it's done, Proverbs 11 and verse number 30, in wisdom. But you use it. All right. Any final thoughts?